Index Podcast.
What's up? Thanks for listening to the Up Next Podcast. It's your host, Victor Castaldo. My guest today is Nick Brown, also known as Wisdom. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good.
I'm actually glad you got on this this podcast season, man. Hit me up to do a session. We decided we're going to do a little podcast before, so it's always cool to see and have you tell your story.
Definitely.
Like we were talking about before, I used to hang out with your brothers, and we used to record at your parents' house kind of for fun, and then you kind of outshined us a little bit there, and you set up your own home studio at your old house. So, yeah, can we get your background and how you got into creating your own music?
Definitely. So, been a big fan of music in general, but hip-hop really hit me in high school, and I loved everything about it, man. Especially old school, which that kind of shows in my music anyway. Like the old school beats and scratching and all that cool stuff. But really, flow and lyrical content was always what caught my eye. Play on words and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I finally thought, like, why can't I try to do it, I guess, and surprise myself along with everybody else. So that's kind of how it got started.
So, but, like, did you rap in your car alone and stuff before
that? Oh, dude, my favorite pastime is to memorize people's lyrics.
So you had rapped other, obviously, because you like rap music, you had rapped along, but, like, you weren't, like, freestyling in your car and stuff before
that? No, not really. I had a verse. I did write, like, a 16 a long time ago, and I just kind of kept it hidden. And,
yeah.
But I didn't branch out from that until after I started recording and stuff with you and my brothers and stuff, just kind of messing around.
Yeah. So how long have you been making music?
That was probably like 4 years ago that I probably first recorded something, and then I started really getting into it about a year after that, or like the next year leading up to it. I was kind of getting more and more into it. But then I played my first show in April in 2017. Damn. Yeah. And,
was that in Sydney?
Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. At Mad Frog.
How many shows did you have since then?
I've probably had 6 or 7 more since then.
Huh.
I've done some in Sydney, a couple in Dayton. I think that's about
it. What's your favorite venue so far to perform at?
I really had a good time at the Phoenix in Sydney. That was fun. Probably my favorite.
What made it different?
Honestly, all my friends were local. You know, I mean, that's just
more people could come.
Exactly.
And, yeah,
we had a good time.
Yeah, you want those inner people to
that's
be able
it.
To go.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you were listening to like older hip hop stuff.
Yeah.
What are some specific artists that you were listening to in high school?
So Gangstar, which is Guru as the MC, and DJ Premier, he was the producer. He still produces stuff and everything. Got really big into Big Pun. He's actually the reason why I wanted to start. Like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, Big Pun is one of my favorites for sure. Big Pun and a little bit of Biggie, not much, honestly. Biggie and Tupac were kind of...
Too mainstream for you?
Yeah, man. Too many people listen to him, so I was like, yeah.
Your brother was like that, too, growing
dude,
up.
Yeah.
He literally would stop listening to someone. He's like, I don't know, dude. He went mainstream. I'm like, so you don't like him because he's mainstream or because he changed? He's like, because he's mainstream.
That's it, too.
I mean, I feel that. But
yeah.
At the same time, like, if they don't change up, I'll still listen to him. If it becomes, like, mumble rap, then the content suffers. But
right.
Obviously, that's probably not even their decision. It's probably their label, but...
Yeah. Well, you get used to, you know, somebody sounding the same or like having a certain sound that you like. And obviously as an artist you want to evolve, but as a fan sometimes I don't really want to see it, like,
cuz you started liking them at a certain stage,
then
they became to a different stage, but
exactly.
It's usually the stage that you found them or the stage that you started thinking they were really good that you want them to stay with.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think most of the time that's a stage where few people think that they were at their best. You know, I think a lot of people who are under 20 or under 25 think that like new Big Sean, Noob, Drake, New, all that is as good or better than any of his old stuff. But like, right. bro, their old mixes, they were just spitting bars.
Right.
And it was, and they were having more fun. They literally sound depressed on a track now.
Exactly.
I even have a bar about that that I think got scrapped in an old phone, but it was pretty funny.
Bring it back, dude.
I'm bringing back a lot of old music.
For sure.
You're someone who would actually know what I'm saying when I say this, but I'm bringing back the Evicted name. But
are
I'm
you?
Doing it under like the Alter Ego name. So I'm doing like different music under Evicted.
Okay.
It'll be like some bar for bar stuff, and then it'll be sort of some experimental singing type tracks. And then my other stuff is going to be like Sell My Soul, you know, not literally, but it's got more of that. It's got more of that like trying to experiment with what's Evicted's just more what I want to create, man. I don't give a shit if that gets any plays.
Right.
And then the Victor stuff is just like.
Dude, I always thought, I always wondered why you straight away. I thought Evicted was like the best fucking
really?
Name. Yeah, dude.
You and Rosie are the only people that like fucked with that.
It's
name,
so good. I mean, it just goes with you. It's
I mean, so it does go with my story and my life, and it has my name in it. But
right.
who knows? And then like if that popped, I'll just like stop making it under my first name stuff. But
right.
like if my first name was like, I don't know. Not to like hate on anybody, but if my first name was like Andrew, I probably wouldn't go by Andrew. But like I feel right. like my first name is different and there are some people that go by it.
Right, yeah.
But it's like a strong, it's a strong name that I think you could almost use even if it wasn't your name. So,
oh, for sure.
Anyway, I feel like I didn't know what to choose. I wasn't sold on doing Evicted Forever, like actually putting money and distributing under that.
Yeah.
And I felt like my music hit a pivotal change once I changed my name. Like
yeah.
in terms of the quality, at least of the mix and stuff.
I can agree with that for
sure. And probably my skills, but like I think Scorching Summer was around the first time I switched it, the first Scorching Summer Volume 1. And I mean, listen back to it, like there's some mix things I would do differently, but I mean, that's always going to be the case. But
right.
I think that
that's part of the journey.
That was a pivotal like mixtape for me.
For sure.
And EVP was too, but it was like.
Smegma was on that mixtape, wasn't it?
It was on Scorching Summer Volume 1. Yeah, dude. I got them all downloaded into a playlist, like all my songs from a couple from EVP, but I mean, that's right. just because like I'm attached to them. And then like Scorching Up, all those are in a playlist on my phone now because I downloaded my computer and then they saved to my phone because a fucking cloud for once is helpful. So
the cloud.
Yeah. So anyway, enough about my garbage old mixtapes. So, I mean, do you still listen to the same old school artists now or do you listen to some different ones?
I do listen to some different ones. It's actually pretty much completely different. Here recently, it's been Run the Jewels.
Yeah.
I really like them.
They're still kind of relevant.
Oh, my gosh.
People don't really like, people don't, some people never knew they were.
Right.
Some people don't know who they are now, but like, I still hear about them. I think they're still working
Dude,
and stuff.
Hell yeah. Oh, my God. And they just came out with an album like a couple months ago, maybe.
Yeah.
At the most. And it's great. I mean, it's probably their best one.
How many songs do you think it is about?
10, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it, so there's someone who's been around a while.
Right.
So do you think that newer one, how does that compare to their old music, seeing as they've been around?
I mean, compared to, like, their first album together, it's pretty much, it's kind of the same thing. I mean,
they haven't changed
too much. Run the
Jewels
is Run the Jewels. Nah. I mean, they've both been in the game for a long time.
Right.
And I never knew about them until a few years ago.
Really?
But, yeah. But I listened to Deca, this dude from Colorado. He's really on the level of where I want to be. Content wise, flow wise, and Cess Crew from Strange Music definitely had a big impact on me when I found them. So once I strayed away from the old school and went into, because I was kind of under the impression that everything now is just garbage.
Yeah,
but no, dude. If you go under, if you go underground, you're gonna find
it. They're there,
dude. They're there. Yeah, and I had no idea until you know I had some help from my buddy. He was into all that, and he showed me Cess Crew, showed me Run the Jewels, and that really changed my style of writing and the way I look at hip hop in general. I guess at least in the state it is today.
So you mentioned that what was the Colorado rapper's name again?
Deca.
So you mentioned that you wanted to be at that level of content and his music. So what do you think that you could specifically improve as an artist to help get to where you want to be?
Honestly, just keep working. The more you write, the the better it's gonna get. But also, I try to read and just gather information, not even purposely for music purposes, mm-hmm. I guess, but it just naturally comes, you know, it sticks in your subconscious and it's something new that I'm into or whatever. Because I read factual stuff about like energy healing or psychedelics or, you know, weird shit like that. Yeah. So it always has a hand in what I write, at least, you know, if I'm writing around that time, it's definitely inspired by what I'm reading at the time too. So,
yeah, I mean, you kind of use stuff that's relevant, whether it's people talking about Corona or Trump or whether it's more of a, you know, deep connection you had to something or like something in your personal life. Like people are relationships is probably the oldest topic in history.
Yeah, definitely.
For any type of art or content.
But I also try to stray away from like, because I know every rapper and their brother will be talking about Corona for however long now. And, all that shit. So I just try to stray away from what everybody else is going to say and just kind of, I don't know, make it unique, keep it unique for sure.
What's your favorite track of yours to date?
Oh, man. I really like Stoned Ape just because of the time we had recording. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good track. That's probably
your highest quality song.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. But man, I'm like my biggest fan. I like all of them.
What was that one that came out? Oh man, I want to say it was like 6 months ago. You had a feature on it.
Oh yeah. I Am Who Are You?
Yeah.
Yeah. I recorded my verse and the hook here. Actually, at your old studio before you were here.
Yeah.
So you mixed and mastered that one, but yeah, featuring Alter Ego. He's from Dayton. He's great. Awesome.
How'd you get connected with him?
I met him. We did a couple shows at Club Evolution in Dayton.
Okay.
And, I mean, he was up there in a tie-dye shirt. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I like tie-dye. So I went, and dude, he's great. He's really, really underrated, and his content's really good, so.
What do you think the best bar you've ever spit was?
Damn.
At least that you could take of.
You should have asked me this earlier. Let's see.
I think I think Unorthodox had some bars.
Dude.
I think your brother thinks my bar was the bar of the tape, which is steep. It's very steep to say. But
dude, it's good though. Like that track is still one of my favorites. It was so good, man. let's see. I'm still trying to think.
what's something that people are like, oh shit, when they hear?
I don't know. I think most of the time people don't know what I'm saying. I spit too many words at them at once, I guess.
It's a lot of bigger words.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe words they don't think about a lot.
Right. I mean, there definitely are times when I can't remember, you know, right off my head, but I'm writing something and then it just like comes out and I write it down and then I read it and I'm just like, whoa, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Yeah. A lot of my shit is like when you're writing it, you're looking at it, right? So like it's like the way it looks written almost is more of a bar than how it sounds sometimes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
The structure of the sentence or like the rhyme scheme or maybe it's like the so many consonants in a row or something like that cool where like you're looking at it and it looks... I like a lot of bars that are like... obviously, if it's a bar because it has meaning. But also, like, I have some bars where they're one letter different than the bar before that and they rhyme. And then to me, those are like killer because...
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like saying something so different with one letter, and it's a bar because it's like, even if that was a totally different structured sentence, it would have been, so.
Oh, for sure.
There's different people have different views of what makes a good bar. I mean, people will tell me, geez, I'm trying to think of some of the ones from my recent songs. I'm like, are you serious? Like, Flex on Razter. So Rosley, the other artist on there, he said, in the Off-Whites, I go cream on them. That's my bar. He said that was like the biggest bar I've had in a while. I'm like, dude, that is like so dummy. I thought it was too dummy. Probably is. Like, that was more about the energy than the...
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know.
That's good shit though, man.
What's your fan's favorite song of yours? Or what do you get the most feedback on?
Dude, most of my friends, they like...
Yeah.
They like my song that I wrote for my wife. Amazing. Mm-hmm. That was on my very first mixtape years ago. And actually performed it at the wedding on stage, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But and everyone was singing along. I didn't realize, like,
they knew that, like,
dude, that was their jam. Yeah, and it still is. Yeah. Most people, that's what they like. It's good shit, too. I mean, especially when you know our story, it makes it even better. Yeah. For sure.
They know your story.
Yeah.
They know the song already. And they're your friends. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
They should like that song.
For sure. Because that's all who listen to me are my friends.
Right. No. So you were at my wedding in October, and I'm sure of all people, you caught that I was rhyming at one point in my vows.
Dude, come on now.
And, like,
that was great.
It was so funny because I was trying to explain to my mom, like, that's a song that I've had. It's called Exotic, and I've had it wrote for Nicole for, I don't know, man. It could have been, like, up now, probably over 2 years, but at that point, it was, like, over a year.
Yeah.
And I remember I was mixing it. We were up at the lake at my cousin's lake house, and I was mixing it on, like, Apple earbuds. And, you know, I knew I wasn't going to release it because I felt like, well, one, I was doing some singing stuff, which was really me experimenting with my new auto-tune.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I just didn't think it would make sense to drop that. Probably actually would have been, like, my biggest song. But right. Anyways,
you'd
under the Evicted
man.
Page, I'm going to drop it. So,
yeah.
And I already re-recorded it. I might show it to you later. But it's
I'd
like,
love to.
It's, I might show you the original, at least some of it, too, because, like, it's... I've been working on my voice a lot. That's been, like, I think I can write. I think I can time and stuff at least now. But
Right. It's
just, like, making my voice the right energy for that track.
Yeah.
Because I'm not the type of person, like, Rosie's really good at going up at certain points. I think he does it too much, like, to a fall. But,
Yeah. You
know, I like the consistent, like, and then obviously doing energy or doing layers at certain spots. But
that's my biggest thing, too, man. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that a certain song doesn't deserve a different voice. It's just,
right.
I like that voice for that song.
For sure.
Regardless of what that, it needs to match the beat, obviously, just like a singer needs to match the instruments. But
yeah.
Anyway, so I retook it in a deeper voice, and I was literally in my head thinking Barry White. And I feel like it was probably my lowest song. I could never do it that low again. I shredded my vocal cords trying to go that low. But it's like, it's funny now because, like, if you heard the first one, I was like, it's deep. Like, I know you heard the first one. You liked it. Like, she plays it. She has it on her phone.
Hell yeah.
But this one is like, she's like, okay. I'm like, no, you don't get it. It's like, it's stupid deep. So, like, just listen to it.
Dude, I got to hear this.
Yeah, I know. We're going to go through that for sure. So, who's your favorite artist to collab with?
Oh, man. I can't pick.
This is a fair question not to answer.
Because there's so many good people around that I know. That I've already, everybody I've collaborated with is fucking phenomenal. Or I wouldn't have collaborated with them.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
But to pick one, I can't.
Was there any ones that you were surprised, like maybe you hit up for a feature or hit you up and you were like, oh shit, like fucking Alter Ego wants to do a feature. He answered my email.
That was kind of the, started talking to him that night that I met him and he was like, you know, he told me, I'd be down to do something with you. And I'm like, oh, I'd totally be down. So
yeah.
It was a few months after that I had half of that song written. And
so
I'm
you
like,
sent
man,
him the verse?
Yeah,
the
I
beat
did.
Everything.
I
okay.
did. Yeah. I like, I have a lot of tracks with features. And actually this one that I'm about to record tonight is going to have an open verse for somebody.
Oh, okay.
And I just like, I don't make a lot of music. And when I do, man, I want to make good music. And I know a lot. And there's so many artists I want to collab with. So it's just like, fuck it. Let's make some good shit.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, especially nowadays, like, it's a lot more common to do more features.
Yeah.
Like, the volume 2 is Scorching Summer, which I'm trying to drop late this month.
Yeah.
I don't have a date on it yet, because, like, I finally got everybody else's verses that I'm going to wait for in now.
Right.
I just need to record mine. I need to write, like, one or one and a half more verses and then just go through and record them one day. But, it's gonna be like 9 or 10 tracks, but that's all features. And what's cool about it is I let the features pick what beat they wanted, of what was available at the time, obviously. And then, told them, we're gonna you do a verse or a hook, whatever you want to do, at least leave me a 16 out of it. And then, like, that way I'll match it to your energy, I'll match it to your topics and stuff. And I think that's cool because, like, not many people give the feature
right
the leniency to like totally lay the track out. And right. So some people that went cool, like they did they did a hook and they did a verse, and you know, they had a hook and then me. And yeah. Then some of them did like a 20 bar verse on a clearly laid out 16:8, 16:8. And he's like, I don't know, that's what I have. And I'm like, well, I could cut you at 16, but then it's not me giving you that.
Right.
And then so maybe there's no hook. But if I cut you, it might sound unnatural. So I was like, I don't know. So it kind of, some people may meet, they might need the guidance unless it's just going to be their track.
Right.
And I kind of try to say it like that. Like, imagine this is a beat that you just got. I need you to do what you want to do with it and leave me some time.
Right.
Some people like did a little bit. It's interesting.
Yeah.
One guy wanted like three verses. I'm like, you got to think about like, do they want to hear? And he's kind of a yelling rapper, I guess could say. So it's like, him doing a hook, him doing a hook, him doing a hook, him,
right.
His hook, then me. And I'm like, see, I don't know, then I'm going to need to chop all this up and put me somewhere else. And
right.
It was really interesting, though. I definitely learned a lot by doing that. I don't think it'll be
good.
My favorite album I ever got, but it's similar vibes to Scorched Summer Volume 1. And
it's always cool to have matching, you know, just bringing other people's creativity.
Yeah.
You know, you got an artist or a couple artists, and then, you know, the producer, and everyone together makes this track, man. It's cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking it's more so going to help me later on than right now. But it's cool because, like, then everyone's likely to promote the track because everyone's got some stake in it, you know, because,
definitely.
Oh, the album does good, then everybody wins. That was kind of, like, the goal with it, too, as a marketing standpoint. More people are likely to push it if more people are on it.
Exactly.
And then everybody who's with them.
Right.
Which everybody does that with features, but, like, I don't know. Because I just put out a lot this year, but, I mean,
dude, you've been working.
I know, dude. 22 had maybe 7 features out of 16 tracks. So that's like at least 50% solo. And then you go to all 100% feature. And,
yeah.
And then honestly, those two other EPs with Roz are basically features. They were collabs. Basically,
yeah,
so,
definitely.
I mean, that'll be like at least 20 tracks in a row, features only.
Right.
And then the Evicted stuff, I think, is mostly going to always be solo. I might get super lost in my own head and do a Evicted featuring Victor, but it just gets a little bit confusing.
You have to, man. Dude, if that's possible, you have to.
I mean, I thought that's what you were doing when you had the alter ego thing. I was like, what's going on here? And then, you know, like a lot of people do that. Like J. Cole will say featuring Kill Edward,
right.
Which is his alter ego.
Yeah.
Nicki Minaj did it. I forget where hers was a guy. Her alter ego is a guy. And then, you know, Eminem, some Shady. And then there's like, there's one more I can't think of right now, but people do that and then they feature on their own and you're like, oh, my Mac Miller, he did, what was it, Sir something on, it was always on SoundCloud, I'd see it, but
yeah.
Anyways,
that's
Sir Fisherkin.
It's cool, we should definitely do it.
Yeah, so I want to get this EP out and then Exotic is a single on that and I'm doing a Blue EP, which is going to be like, have you seen Ozarks at all?
No, but people keep telling me.
Okay, well, this isn't about the show at all. It's about when the show starts, you know, like, imagine like a T. Theirs is always white, but it doesn't really matter. And then there's 4 icons in the,
okay,
like a grid.
Yeah.
Those 4 describe the episode.
Oh,
a case
okay.
of beer with one missing, or like a bottle or cigarettes, or it probably means something happened. Somebody's like pissed off, smoking cigarettes
right.
outside, something like that. So it gives you like a little bit of a summary of what's going to happen. That's
Hell
what
yeah.
my cover of it's going to be
oh,
modeled
shit.
After. And it's cool. It's,
I like that.
It's this so one song, cute. So I don't know how you say it. So I honestly, it's kind of messing me up because I think about every word on there now. But the whole song, it's called Blue Crayon. But
Crayon.
So people say crayon. I don't know. So the whole song is those.
Okay.
Syrup or syrup.
Oh, damn, dude.
And the whole song's kind of like that, but like in structure, which is proven to be complicated. But
that's a lot of brain power to do that shit.
Yeah, it's weird. And then it changes how you think about those words forever. So it's like like a tattoo.
You'll never hear them the same again, dude.
Yeah, and I'll never know which way to say. Like talking about the song, I'm like, I don't know. It's the crayons. And so that's going to be cool. So Blue EP, I'm excited for that.
Hell yeah.
And I just know you know that name and how I used to use it, so I thought that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
So you talked about people you've collabed with and some experiences, but who is an artist that you dream of collaborating with someday?
Oh, man.
If you could buy a feature right now for like $100,000, who would it be?
Oh, that's a good question.
have to be alive, obviously.
Right. I don't know. I'd go with Decca.
Really?
Yeah, I think his vibes and my vibes would probably mesh pretty well. I'm telling you, man, you're going to have to listen to him. He's good.
Yeah, I'm going to.
He's definitely what I strive to be. And I think that'd be cool for sure. No doubt.
I wonder what he charges a feature.
Probably too fucking much.
I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know what happened, but I started following Ren Thomas on Instagram a little before Grow. And he posted features, like, for the low. I'm like, all right. I DM'd him. I'm like, how low are you talking? Like, you know what I mean? Like, low to you might be 2,000. I don't have it. But,
right.
I got, like, the first one for, the two features I got from him, I paid less than 100 for.
Damn.
Each one.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of a staple in those type of albums, which, if you don't know my music, then this means nothing to you. But Grow and 22 have a certain feel to them that is not like Scorched Summer with my singles or whatever. They're just more like, not personal, but
they're deeper.
They're deeper and they're like well-rounded and stuff. So he's in those staple albums.
Right.
And I'm probably going to try to maintain that. But, you know, they always kind of like bullshit you like, oh, well, it's going to be 1,000 after this month and like whatever.
But, oh, right.
And then I dragged it out and I was like, yeah, I still want that feature. I don't want to pay 1,000 and it still got it. But I mean, that now that he's done a couple with me, it's like I might keep getting them.
Right.
But what I'm saying is it's worth DMing them because like if they're doing nothing that day, like especially nowadays, artists aren't really doing shit and they're not about to go get a 9-to-5, I'll tell you that much. So you DM them and you're like, oh, man. Yeah, you normally charge in like 10,000, but like I'll totally cash app you 150 bucks if you do this fee. Like you don't know where that's gonna go, man.
Right? And it's worth the shot.
It's probably worth more than what you'd do with $150 into your marketing to have that feature.
Right.
You could market with $10 and put 140 into that feature, whatever it is. So
yeah, for sure.
I think you should, since you like collabs so much. Consider that. I mean, it does seem like all that money's just gone, but now you have a virtual relationship with him. Like, he doesn't probably know you exist right now, right?
Fuck,
I'm guessing
no.
You haven't contacted
nah,
him. Right. So even
not.
If you contact him and he's like, yeah, I ain't got time for no fucking shit like that.
Right.
Then, like, you know, you send him a song and he might totally not listen to it. Be like, hey, man, I really think this would vibe. This, you inspired this track. That's a key thing to try to get someone to click on.
Right.
You know, like, your song, this, and I really liked your structure and you really inspired me to push myself to get here. He might click on that now.
Right.
Then you try one or two more times and then he might do the feature for like 50 bucks after that. But that's just for anybody listening. Like, if you're trying to get features from people who are not millionaires but are where maybe you want to be or closer to where you want to be, then it's probably, like, less than you spend on your grocery list, so.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, if I was them and I was like, I could do nothing today and just sit around or, like, make 150 bucks for a 16, like, they're probably going to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't really hurt to, like, to throw it out there because other people are hitting them up for free shit all the time.
Yeah.
Or money all the time. Like, they're not trying to give them, like, some money, so.
Right. Damn.
And at the end of the day, money is motivator, so.
Oh, yeah.
What's your missions or your goals with music?
Honestly, it's kind of just a hobby for me.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm a father, a husband, and a massage therapist.
Yeah.
And all that comes first, for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just another outlet for me to spread the vibes that I want to spread, I guess.
Yeah.
So with the, you know, setting my intention when I'm making the song and when I'm writing and all that, and when it comes out and people listen to it, I'm hoping, you know, they catch the same vibes that I was trying to put into it. Because essentially, that's, you know, that's why I'm in massage too. It's just trying to spread my energy as far as I can.
At what point would you, like your music, let's say, grows and grows, at what point would you cap it at?
I don't
like
know.
Like if someone was like, this is it for you, but you need to move to New York, or obviously your family would move,
right.
Or like, we're going to need you in there to do a 20-track EP. You're going to need to be in there 50 hours a week. Like, at what point do you think you would be like, I'm good with where it's at. I don't need it to go to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, want to have to move or any of that shit, honestly.
And it might be possible to not with today's technology. It's
not
like the 90s where you need to be in their studio. But if you can get a quality recording.
Yeah, definitely.
Get it to them.
For sure. I mean, it'd be cool, but I probably wouldn't. I don't know. I love just doing my thing and meeting the people that I've met through this. And and I know, you know, the bigger you get and the more you do, the more people you'll meet. But I like where I'm
give
at.
Give and take. And
yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that'd be possible. Like,
I mean, if more people want to listen, that'd be sick. I'm always down for more listeners. Right. But
and you could do like live concerts and
right
stuff like that if you wanted to, even stage the whole thing. But
dude, show doing shows are my favorite though. Right. My favorite thing about music is being on stage for sure.
It's fun. It's interesting, man. I didn't think I'd like it too much being a performer.
Yeah.
I kind of do, but I'm definitely, with how much I do in the studio, not obviously not just in being an artist, so
right.
I'm just so much more comfortable in a studio, but
definitely.
I think if any artist did everything in a studio and like literally worked full time in a studio, they'd probably be like, I don't dislike performing. I mean, I like it, but it was like a weird time. Like I was going to get married in a month and
right.
My money was all messed up because of the wedding and like,
yeah.
The venue, I seriously don't think I'm being biased when I say, like, I feel like we were the best people that I stayed for because, and it was, like, our old stuff, too. And the mixes, like, I mean, we recorded Cody's album that we did there, Rozzy's album. We did that in a trailer. We recorded his 420 in a trailer, man.
Damn,
one of these chaotic eyes. And their stuff didn't sound good at all. Their attitudes were, like, you know, not looking at whoever else was performing. This one dude after us, he went for like 45 minutes, decided to freestyle for like 20 of those minutes, sat down on stage.
Right.
Like on the stage, not in a chair, and like was swinging his legs, rapping. I'm like, dude, this is a show. Like this is a paid show. And the best slot we could get was opening act. And I'm like, I think it's because we're newer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
We'll pay to play or whatever. But like at the same time, like I went 50 minutes out of my way to go, you know, so like.
Yeah. For sure.
I just don't want to invest the amount of time it would take to make my shows grow.
Right.
And I think it's cool just doing them, like releases and promoting them and doing lives, talking about them and trying to build through a TikTok or whatever. And then people right. go to your music and then you could sell it. Forget not needing shows. People aren't really able to do shows right now.
Yeah.
And the people that are very questionable because like it could get shut down. And then
right.
what happens, you change your whole week around to go to the show or have the show put on and then it gets shut down because no one's distancing or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that's going to get better for a long time. People are trying to sell tickets to, what's that big? Rolling Loud. They're trying to sell tickets to that. Like they're doing it in Europe next year because America has got a worse pandemic, I guess.
Damn.
So I'm like, you guys are buying tickets to that. You know what happens to concerts that don't happen? You don't get that money back.
No.
You've never gotten that money back.
Nope.
Kanye made millions off of these shows he did once, and he just canceled it all. Never refunded anybody. Lost a huge amount of his core fan base from it. Obviously didn't need the fucking money. This is like right. 3 years ago. This isn't like 30 years ago.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not buying any tickets to a concert I don't know is going to exist.
Right.
Buy a plane ticket to Europe and all this stuff? Nah, yeah, it's not happening. So
definitely not.
I like spending more time on that, making videos,
right.
music videos. I had a fun time making Security the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's a good video, man.
And it's cool because, like, I shoot my own. Like, literally no one was here but me.
Right.
And that's hard. Like, you might think it's recording, it's not. You're like, oh, my God, this is starting to piss you off. It's hard to, like, stay fucking chill.
Oh, yeah.
And then on top of that, like, so many of the shots, even some of the ones I kept, like, it's cutting my head off. I'm like, I'm just keeping that. But, I mean, it's fun and you learn with it. And I'm doing it all off my phone. So, I mean,
yeah,
I feel like considering all that, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No questions.
So you mentioned you like the older style beats, like maybe like boom bap beats and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
What are some producers that you tend to like most of their or all of their beats?
So there's this guy I've met through Facebook and he's actually sent me some beats and I've got a couple of tracks recorded. Actually this is his beat.
About to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
His name's Burnt Bacharach. If you need any sampled beats, any of that, dude, get with this guy. He's great.
Does he have like a store online or something you can look at?
Yeah, he's on BeatStars, okay. But he's on Facebook and Instagram, always putting videos of himself making beats and stuff. And I mean, they're sick, dude. If you like old school and shit, he does it. He does it for sure.
What about a mainstream producer that you like that's old school?
Definitely DJ Premier.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely DJ Premier.
I remember doing some YouTube DJ Premier beats with you.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, man. There's something about it. So grimy or something. And just
it's
raw.
Like a raw sound, yeah.
So raw.
Man, I can't. Oh, Jay Dilla, man. I love like his style, too.
Yeah, for sure.
1997 is like one of the best YouTube freestyle, like old school beats I can ever find.
Right.
And I just keep using the same beat.
Hell yeah, dude.
What gets you in a creative mindset or makes you want to record?
Honestly, I start wanting to record when I have, so when I have a song done, it's consistently playing in my head every day until I get it out. Mm-hmm. It drives me fucking crazy sometimes. But writing, it depends. Sometimes I can sit down and write, you know, a verse, no problem. And Sometimes I'll get two bars out and that's it. But it's always something when I go back to look at it, I'm like, oh, okay. And then I can go from that. So at the time when I first put them down, I got nothing. But when I go back and I'm seeing it, you know, with fresh eyes or whatever, then it's like, ah, okay.
Are you a write in your phone guy or write on paper guy?
Phone.
I had to convert to the phone as well.
Phone,
I wasn't really happy about it, but because it's cool, like, phones die, disappear, get stolen, break, whatever. But I saw my folder of, like, pre-Nashville. Like, yeah, I know. Dude, it's some crazy stuff. Like, it's too lyrical. It's too lyrical. And especially today. Maybe in 2015, it was like, eh.
Okay, right.
If I would have timed it perfectly. But, like, it's interesting to see, like, what helped me grow, what helped me get to this point. And
definitely. Man. Oh, yeah. It's cool. I wish. I mean, I'm surprised I don't write in a notebook because it's kind of like old school. That's my thing. Like, you would think that I would just X the phone, but I've always the phone.
And the, it's like easier. I said, the cloud is a convenient way to back up your raps.
Oh, for sure. No doubt.
In your opinion, what makes a good artist?
Definitely, first of all, you got to be yourself. You got to have, you got to do your own thing. Don't go out there and trying to sound like somebody else. Like, and you can tell right off the bat if somebody's trying to do that. Content, definitely. You can tell.
What content do you mean, like putting out a lot of content? The quality, like quantity or quality or both or what?
Quality for sure. I mean, if you have a lot of content and it's all quality, you know.
Obviously. Cool. Yeah.
But you can tell when people take the shit seriously and really hone everything they have into, and it's something.
So, do you have anything else you want to leave listeners with?
So, I'm on Facebook, Wisdom, WIZDUM, and I'm on Instagram at Wisdom937. It's pretty much all I got. I do have a YouTube. If you want to subscribe to that, I really don't have a whole lot of content right now, but
we'll work on that.
Yeah, for sure.
But obviously you're on Apple and stuff. So what do they need to search to find
definitely.
You? Same thing.
Yep. Wisdom. WIZDUM.
Are you still active on SoundCloud?
Yes, I am.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Very well.
It's all the wisdom.
Thanks for featuring on the podcast today, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Most definitely. We got to get to this session. Thanks for listening to Up Next Podcast. Don't forget to share and subscribe to the podcast. And have a good Friday. Thank you.
Up Next Podcast.